Amen. Would you open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12. I hope that you were able to see, even in the song service, there a common thread as Nathan and I talked about the service this week. And with our graduates today, I want to talk to you today about the topic of holiness. So having finished 1 Peter, and before we move on to our next study, I wanted to stop by here, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to read beginning in verse 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Therefore, lifting your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Now may it drill deeply down into our hearts, and may we be changed into your likeness as we embrace your holiness. Thank you for being our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. All of this talk about high school has made me reminisce a bit. One of the darker sides, or darker days, I guess you'd say, of my high school time was I ran a little bit of track. But I was not a fast guy. I ran the 800. Yeah, woo. The 800 is also known as the half mile. The 800 meter race is too short to jog and too long to sprint, which equates to misery. I always knew in running this race when my competitors were beginning to show signs of fatigue. And I don't care who you are, as an 800 meter guy, you're going to show signs of fatigue in this race. Those signs of fatigue were that your hands and your shoulders would immediately begin to drop when you're starting to get tired. You can't hold your arms up anymore. And your knees could no longer rise any higher. So you kind of start to do what we used to call in the Army the airborne shuffle. Because you can't pick your knees up anymore. You're tired. Sometimes we would see guys in the 800-meter race begin to drift into each other's lanes. Sure sign of fatigue. Interesting, the author of Hebrews here pictures living for Christ as a race. He does it all the way through Hebrews chapter 12. In fact, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, very familiar passage to you, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured to the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the Christian, living, life itself is pictured as a race. And the goal of that race, the finish line of that race, is not heaven. It's holiness. Look with me down in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 10, it says, for they disciplined us for a short time. Speaking of earthly fathers who were a part of our lives as we were young and as we're growing up. Maybe you had an earthly father, maybe you didn't. This was the purpose of that earthly father, was to bring us discipline, it says in verse 10. They disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, meaning God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. That's the goal of life. Now, he says in verse 14, strive for peace. Pursue, the word literally means to pursue, to chase after. Strive, pursue, chase after peace with everyone, and the inference here is that that verb strive goes along here for the second part of the clause, and strive, pursue, chase for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Here the writer of Hebrews is preparing all of us for life. And as we think about all of our graduates who are about to embark on this new kind of life for themselves, you know, I want to just share this brief word with you today that we're not at the finish line yet. We're still moving forward, but the finish line for the Christian life is not just heaven, it is holiness. It is to be made into the likeness of God Himself. And there is no characteristic, no quality, no value, no virtue that better describes God our Father and encapsulates the totalness of who God is than holiness. Interesting, the word holy is a four-letter word in our culture today. It literally is a four-letter word. I got it. But if you're called holy today, it may be a derogatory term. What I want to say to you today, especially to the graduates and to the parents and to everyone who's in here who's living the Christian life, trying to run the Christian race, embrace that derogatory term, if you will, and be holy. Be holy. Here he says in verse 12, like a runner, he says, we grow weary and we grow tired. Do you see what he says? Lift your drooping hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Tell you, if you've ever run 800-meter race, you know what it is to have weak knees. You make that last curve around the bend. It's twice around the track, right? You come around that second curve and the knees just want to go in opposite directions. And then he says, and make straight paths for your feet. Stay in your lane. Follow God. The author here is encouraging us, even reminding us that the goal is holiness and that we are to pursue it. We are to strive for it. In all of your academic workings, graduates, and for all of us who go to work and do the things that you do, you strive, you push hard, you work hard, you're trying to achieve and to accomplish and gather in things for yourselves. And here, the writer of Hebrews really kind of surmises the entire Bible and says that as people of faith, people who follow Christ, our one singular goal is to strive, to push, to chase after the one worthy goal of life, which is holiness. Holiness. And in fact, he says, it is the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That sounds interesting. Let's try to unpack it a little bit, because it is, what that says to me is that it's critical that we live holy lives. It's essential to the Christian life that we live in holiness. So the first thing I want to do today is I wanted to define holiness for you. And then we're going to look at two different kinds of holiness. And then I just got a couple of questions I want to ask you today. First of all, let's define holiness. If we're to make our life goal in this race, if we're to make it this goal, then we need to know what the finish line is. So let's look at it. What is holiness? 700 times. 700 times in the Bible. The words like holiness, sanctification, righteousness, consecration, piety, all of those are words that are describing not just God, but those who follow after God. What our life is to be consumed with, what the defining characteristic of our life's pursuit should be, holiness. Now, I mean, 700, that is a lot of times. 700 times that word is used. It literally means to be set apart from, for a special, specific use. It's what we mean when we say as Christians that we are to be different. To be different means we are to be holy. So what use has God set us apart for? If he's taken us up out of the rest of everything else, kind of like some of you when you have Skittles or M&Ms and you separate them all into, don't act like you don't do that. Some of you do. Some of you don't care. You stuff the whole thing in your mouth. Some of you, you're meticulous. You put all the blue ones over here, the red ones over here, and you actually think that there's a different taste to them. Weird. What is the use that God has set us apart from the rest of the world for? It is just this: to reflect God's holiness. The reason why we are to be holy as God is holy, the reason why we are to pursue, strive, chase after holiness is we are to, as Christians, little Christ, we are to, with all of our life, as the main purpose and goal of our life, to reflect the holiness, the perfection, the greatness, the total characteristics of God himself. His character, his qualities, his work. I started to illustrate it today by bringing a couple of my military uniforms, but I knew they would distract you if I did that. When I worked at Arlington National Cemetery, I wore dress blue uniform every day. Imagine me having to wear a suit every day. Horrible. But that dress blue suit with the dark blue and all of the medals and the insignias that are all on it, the light blue pants with the yellow stripe down the side, with the big clunky 2.5 pound each shoes that had metal attached so that when we stepped and walked it clanked and did all of those kind of things, to be very ceremonial in all of our doings of the day. That's a very different uniform than what we called the ACU, the Army Combat Uniform. Now, you all are familiar with that, fatigues or camouflage or whatever you want to call it. I would never, ever wear my dress blues on a mission in Kandahar. And neither were we ever allowed to wear fatigues, Army combat uniform, camouflage inside of the hallowed ground of Arlington. One uniform, each uniform is set apart for a very specific purpose. And each of those uniforms, what we wear, what we put on, reflects what we are doing and whose orders we're taking. This is holiness, to be set apart for a specific purpose. And that purpose that God has set apart for us is that by people could look at us and know what we are about for that day. God has set you apart for his purpose. He has created you for a specific reason, a specific purpose. And this is why God has revealed himself to us in his Son and in the Scriptures through his will and through his commands, so that we can know him, and by knowing him, we can reflect what he is and what he does. Let me just say this very briefly. Just a moment ago, we did not sing moral, moral, moral. We sang holy, holy, holy. God has not simply called you to be moral. He has. But he has not called us to merely be moral. He has called us to be in his likeness, to be holy. If you want to know what this holiness is that we are to pursue as the goal of life, then let me suggest to you that what you do daily is to look long at Jesus. That's why we say we want to teach you how to read the Bible. We want to teach you how to pray. We call these things discipleship. We want to teach people. We want to equip people to get in the Word, to get in the Bible, to seek after God on their own, because we must know him so that we can display him, so that we can reflect him. The goal of all of life and every part of life, whether it is your academics or it's your sports, your recreation, your music, your television, your whatever, your job, your parenting, your following your parents, whatever it might be, all of the goal of life is to display the holiness of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that Jesus is the exact radiance, the spitting image, if you will, of God the Father. If you want to know what holiness looks like, look at Jesus. By the way, I would also add, and this is all for free right here, is that this is why we do theology. This is why we teach doctrine. Because if the main goal of our life is to be conformed to and look like Jesus, we better get Jesus right. There is a fluffy kind of Jesus that's being portrayed out there that has virtually nothing to do with the biblical Jesus. We must get Jesus right. He is worthy of us working hard to understand him so that our life may be conformed to him. Holiness is conforming your life to the will of God and to the obedience to his commands. What is holiness? It looks a lot like Jesus, and that's why we talk about him a lot. 1 Peter, and we've recently studied 1 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, I want to go back to this. It says this, "But as he who called you," God who called you, and that calling is for you to be saved, "but he who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." If you want to be a Christian, you must understand that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, and now your life is not to reflect your grandeur, your greatness, your longing, your goals. The Christian life is to die to self. As Jesus said, to deny yourself, to take up your cross. By the way, taking up your cross doesn't mean you wear your little golden thing around your neck, which is great, fine, it's a wonderful thing. But that cross means something. It means I die. And then he says, and follow me. All of life is to be about reflecting the holiness of God. So that's what it is. Holiness is being set apart for a special use, a specific use. And it is the character of God. So
what it is not. Let's just briefly just talk about what holiness is not. And I think this is a good place for, in front of these statements, I have like five statements that I want to make, and each one of them I want to use the word merely. Because all the things I'm about to say are good things, but they're not the totality of what it means to live holy. So what it is not, what holiness is not, it is not merely a past decision. Holiness is a life. It is your entire life. It is the race. It is the entirety of the race. Now, I'm going to confess something to you. Yesterday, I did a workout that calls for running. I don't like to run very much because the Army broke me of that. But I did a workout yesterday where you run at the beginning, do a little workout in the middle, and then run at the end. It's called Murph. Look it up. I was doing great on this workout. I was trying to beat my previous time, and I was doing great on the workout. And then I got to the second run. I ran down to the end of the street. I was running a mile. I ran down to the end of the street, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I started cramping everywhere. I didn't know I had places that I was starting to cramp. Confession time. I walked the rest of the way. That's hard for me to say. I walked. What would it look like in a high school track meet if everybody's running and all of a sudden one guy goes, you know what? Nah. Not going to win anyway. I'm just going to walk. Hey, Jim. I'm going to walk over here. You know what? And then I'll finish by walking back the other way. That would be ridiculous. I'm not done yet. I'm gonna walk up into the stands here for a minute. You know, guy's got his little running shorts and his little tank top on. His little bib's got his number on it, and he's like, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. What's going on? You know what? I guess I better get back to this." No, that's silliness. We don't do that, and neither do we do that in the Christian life. We don't have places along the race where we call a timeout, where we stop and walk, where we go up into the stands, where we sit down, take a drink for a few minutes. No, we keep racing. We keep moving. It doesn't mean that we're always winning the race. It's not merely a past decision that you made one time and now you believe that that's all that there is. Number two, it's not merely just keeping rules. It is about being obedient to what God has called us to, but it's more than that. It's not just a checklist. It's also not just merely spirituality, meaning that you have an interest in kind of mysterious things, or you have an interest in inner peace. That's not holiness. It's not merely seeking after wholeness or finding yourself. No, God's not called us in holiness to find ourselves. He's called us to deny ourselves. It's not merely following your heart. I hear people say that all the time. If I've lost my mind and I decided to check Facebook, I see people talking about following their heart. Don't follow your heart. Please don't. Your heart is wicked and deceitful. That's what the scripture tells us in all ways. You know what? The scripture doesn't tell us. The scripture doesn't tell Christians to follow their heart. It warns us to guard our heart. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. All right, I should have been turned there already. Proverbs 4:23 is an incredible warning for those of us who are on the race of life that we shouldn't just merely follow our heart. 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all
vigilance, or guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Or listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Listen, especially you graduates, you young people, listen, you got all this life in front of you. You got all these thoughts about what are my goals, what are my ambitions, what are the things that I want to do. Listen, don't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you astray constantly. Don't follow your heart. Guard your heart. God has put the good deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart and of your mind, and you must guard it. You must actively set up a sentry around your heart with the Word of God, with the people of God, with the community of God, with the Spirit of God. You must constantly guard your heart because the world wants to take you out of the race. Guard your heart. Read the Word of God. Pray. Seek after God. Holiness is not following your heart. And finally, and maybe most importantly, holiness is not happiness. It is not seeking after happiness. You know, running the race is often hard, but it's worth it. Running the race often has obstacles and difficulties and problems, and you got to do some training, and there's some exertion and all of those kind of things. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." He doesn't say, pursue happiness, pursue joy. He says, delight yourself, find joy in God, and He will transform your heart into the things of Him that will be worthy of pursuing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says it like this in verse 15. It says, "And Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised again." Don't pursue happiness. Pursue holiness, and God will provide for you an overflowing wellspring of joy that will sustain you and strengthen you through all of the storms and the winds and the problems and the difficulties. And oh, by the way, they'll come. Oh, like Oklahoma weather. Things feel good today, right? When you got your cap and gown on and you got all these ambitions some of you are in your 50s and 60s and 70s, and you still ought to live like life like you got your cap and gown on. Because God's not done with you yet. If He was done with you, you would be dead. You'd be in heaven. Look around. You ain't in heaven. Not yet. God's not done with you yet. All right. That is what holiness is and what it's not. Very quickly, two kinds of holiness. Two kinds of holiness that God gives us. The first is positional holiness. When we are saved, God makes you holy. In actuality, in order to be saved, God has to make you holy. He can't save you if He doesn't make you holy. God has rescued those of us who trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. He's rescued us from the punishment and the penalty of our sin, and he has separated us, he has set us apart from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what it means to have positional holiness. God takes us out of one kingdom and he places us in another kingdom, not by our works, but by his work that he did on the cross of Christ. We deserve death to be totally enraptured into the kingdom of darkness, but Christ paid the penalty for our sin. When he hung on a cross, he took the blame, he took our guilt, he took our death penalty, that by those of us who would trust in him, put our faith in the finished work of Christ, we would be transferred from the kingdom of light into the kingdom, or from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He has repositioned us. That's positional holiness. And no one is saved without being positionally made holy. I have a ton of scriptures. I can't get through all of them. So I'll read one and then I'll tell you the rest of them. Okay? Good. I'm glad you agree. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that all of us had been immoral, sinful people. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? They've not been positionally changed. Verse 9, do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You see, there's a positional changing that takes place. You were washed, you were sanctified. That's the word holy. That is the exact word holy. Holy. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 12 or so. Go back and look at that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. No one is saved without being repositioned by God's holiness. That's something he does in us. But there's another kind of holiness. It's called progressive holiness or practical holiness. Some of us say that we need to be sanctified. We need to grow in holiness. Once we've been positioned in salvation, then God begins the process of transforming sinful people like us, dirty, rotten scoundrels. Don't point. Because we'd all be pointing first at ourselves, amen? God begins the process through his Holy Spirit, through Jesus, through the Word, through the church. God transforms us into the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Paul says it like this, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, not to the world, but to the image of his Son. That is progressive holiness, practical holiness. That's sanctification. That's after you have been saved, there is a continuous, lifelong process, a race, in which we are being made more and more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple more scriptures and then I'm done today, okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says this, and I'm so thankful that he does. He's, you know, if you've ever noticed at the beginning of Paul's letters how thankful he is for stuff, oh, thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for everybody. Lottie Dottie. Here he's being thankful. And then he says this, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, that's positional holiness, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's progressive holiness. You have positional holiness. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That's progressive holiness. Or turn just one page over to chapter 2, verse 12. He says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence." Here he says this, listen, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, see, that's saying that we are to work for our salvation. It could not be further from the truth. No. What Paul says here is not that you need to work so you can get salvation in you. He says work out the salvation that's already in you. Let it come out. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So, God works in us, that's positional holiness, so that we can work for Him, that is progressive holiness. More and more, every day, becoming more and more like Jesus. Well, I can see there's no way I'm getting done with this in time. It doesn't establish your salvation, but it's proof. Progressive holiness does not establish your salvation, but it's proof. It's proof that you are saved. If there is no desire to be more like Jesus, we have a problem, Houston. It either means, well, what it means is that you're still dead. You're still dead in your sin. What does this second kind of holiness look like? It looks like that we're being remade into the image for which we were created. And I just want to encourage you, read Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Go back and look at that. It also means that we have a clean conscience. God has given some of you a very strong conscience, and that's a good thing. A clean conscience is a gift from God. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 is a good example of that. We need to be mindful of God's voice speaking to us. And let me just say this, a clean conscience, being mindful of God's voice, sounds a whole lot like the Bible. Being mindful of God's voice will not lead you into temptation, but it will deliver you from evil, and it sounds a lot like the Bible. And then finally, this progressive holiness looks like obedience. Now, I know this. Listen, not many of us like the word obedience. Unless you're a parent talking to a toddler, then you're like demanding of obedience, right? Obedience, it sounds very spiritual for us to say, well, you know, God is interested in relationship, not rules. That sounds very spiritual. But it's not biblical. And I do have to just turn to a couple of places so that you see this. Because a part of our progressive holiness, of constantly growing in holiness, is being obedient to God's word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him." In other words, by this we know that we are saved. What? "If we keep His commandments." If we keep His commandments. Jesus said this in John 14. "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." It sounds very spiritual to say God's interested in relationships but not rules. It's just not true. Let me prove it to you. I'll just use an example, prove it to you. How about the rule of sexual faithfulness in marriage. The rule of sexual faithfulness in marriage. That's not a rule that squelches the relationship. It promotes the relationship. It defends the relationship. It protects the relationship. No, in all kinds of areas, we understand that rules help us to be faithful and grow. So, get on up out of here where your God is not interested in rules, but relationship. No, he wants us to grow in obedience. All right. So let me just ask you these questions as we finish. Are you holy? I don't mean perfection. He doesn't say pursue perfect holiness. He just says pursue holiness. That means that we must not be there yet if he says that we are to pursue it. Are you holy? Are you pursuing holiness? Are you living a life that's separated for the purpose of God in every area, everything that you have in your life? Have you been made positionally holy? That's the place to start. Has God picked you up out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light by you trusting not in yourself and not in the joys and things of the world, but by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been made positionally holy? Have you been moved from being a sinner to being a saint? By the way, the word saint is the word holy one. Have you been moved from darkness to light? Have you been moved from rebellion to righteousness? You better ask that question. Have you been made positionally holy? Are you being made progressively holy? Are you pursuing holiness in your life as your life goal? Does your life look, sound, feel, reflect Jesus? Do the things that dominate your life look more like the world, which has the stench of death? Or does it look more like God's kingdom, which brings life? You need to examine it. You need to look hard at your life. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are you being transformed into the likeness of God, the holiness of Jesus? Are you more conformed to the rhythm and thoughts of the world than you are to the Word of God? Well, ask Christ today to move you positionally. Ask Christ today to change you progressively, to move you constantly in the conformity to his Son. The goal for the race of life is not happiness, it is holiness. And in holiness, being a set apart for God's kingdom, there is an abundance of joy eternally. For some of you today, you would say, I know that's right. I just don't really want to pursue holiness right now. I got things I want to do. If that is you, then I want you to consider two things. Number one, the pursuit of those things that are not of God only and always leads to misery. I'll let you try that for yourself. And number two, if that's kind of the tenor of your life, I don't want to pursue holiness right now, then it probably reflects that you are not saved. You have not been moved positionally. Pursuing holiness is a lifetime of digging through the closet of life, looking through those clothes in which you can run the race, and discarding those that hinder your stride. So run for Jesus. Pursue holiness. I'm asking you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Thank you for being here today on this Graduate Sunday. And I say again to everyone, not just our graduates, let your life's goal be holiness. In just a few moments, we're going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. I'm going to give a benediction, but right after that benediction, I want to invite you, if any of you know that you need to be moved positionally into the holiness of God, that He would make you right with Him, then today, myself and our pastors, we'd love to talk with you and share with you how God can clean you and make you right with Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe today that you say, you know I'm a Christian, but I'm not constantly, continuously growing in holiness in Christ, and I know that I want that to be my life's goal. One last question. If that's not your life's goal, you just want to hang on the fact that you were saved because you made a decision one day and you were baptized and now you're just going to live your life the way you want, what makes you think that God will allow you to bring your unholiness with you into His heaven? Live for Christ. Pursue holiness as your life goal. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray today that you would grant us a visit of your Holy Spirit, that we might be conformed into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by pursuing the holiness that you have placed already in us, that we might be transformed and made like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Our pastors are going to be right out here to my right, to your left. If you want to pray with somebody, if you want to pray with a pastor, if you want to talk about this life and the race that we live, then I invite you to come and be with us. A benediction today is simply this, the scripture for today. Pursue peace with everyone and pursue, strive for, chase after holiness, of which, without, no one will see the Lord. God bless you, Arrow Heights, and have a great day today.